If you're looking for a text this morning, we direct your attention to verse 6 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. The cornerstone of our Christian faith is the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Under this doctrine, the whole edifice of Christianity stands. If this teaching can be disproved, then Christianity will be found to be a false religion among many false religions. If the resurrection can be proved to be but a myth, then the consequences are great indeed, not only for each one of us this morning who have our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, but all the countless millions who have put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If, as the Apostle Paul would argue in 1 Corinthians 15, if there is no resurrection, if Christ did not rise from the tomb, then our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. Christ is an impostor. And you and I, if Christ did not rise from the tomb, are dead and in trespasses and in our sins. And there is no more power in Christ's death than the death of those two who hung beside him on that fateful day. We are yet in our sins. Those who died in Christ, if he rose not again, are perished. If we have hope in Christ only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. But thank God we can say with an assurance this morning in our hearts that Christ is arisen, and we know he's alive because he lives in our hearts. But the resurrection is one of the most proven facts in the history of men. The evidence for the resurrection is overwhelming, and only those that do not want to believe would put a doubt upon the rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us that the risen Savior was seen of his disciples. There were over 500 in Paul's day still alive who witnessed to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was seen of Stephen, the first martyr, when he was been stoned and the heavens were opened and he saw the Son of Man at the right hand of God in heaven. He was seen of Paul as one out of due season. And the evidence of the empty tomb is conclusive. In Matthew's Gospel 27, verses 62 to 66, we are told there that the stone that was laid against the opening of the sepulchre was sealed, and there was a watch set before it. And yet on the third day that seal was removed, was broken. Those that were set in watch did not see the Savior rise, but the tomb was empty. Now we're told by those who look into these things that that stone, and as we're told in the portion that we read this morning, that the stone was very great, and that stone was laid in such an angle that it was lying in towards the mouth of the sepulchre, making it much more difficult for anyone to remove the stone. It was great. It was impossible for man to move that stone. It was sealed with a seal. There was a watch set upon it. But the tomb was empty. And Christ is arisen. And we thank God this morning that he lives in our hearts to reign. Of course, it was common knowledge in those days, as we find from Matthew 28, verses 12 to 15, that the religious hierarchy were seeking to cover their tracks in case of any eventuality of the Savior arising, that they had bribed men to say that the disciples came when it was dark and stole away the body. And so they were prepared to go to any lengths to try and discredit the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the bodily resurrection of Christ is an incontestable fact. He has risen. He's a mighty Savior. He's the Savior of those that believe on Him. And this morning, as we would survey that scene, as the two Marys made their way to the sepulchre, there are some lessons this morning that I want to glean from the Word of God concerning the empty tomb. And our time has gone on this morning, but quickly we want to notice, first of all, the one whom they sought. They sought the Lord Jesus Christ. Two Marys and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. The angel said in verse 6, "Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth." The one that they sought that morning, the first day of the week, was the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a good desire. They wanted to seek the Lord. But you know, they came to the wrong place. And they came with the wrong purpose. The angel, it tells us in Luke 24 and verse 5, said to them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is risen." Oh, they had come to the wrong place. They had come to the sepulchre to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ, but He was gone. He was not there in the tomb. They came with the wrong purpose. They came to anoint Him, but the Lord Jesus Christ was not going to remain in the state of death. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it again," and He did so. Most important thing that anyone in life can seek for is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that the time that we are to seek the Lord is early. "Those that seek me early shall find me." And yet there are many today, and yes, they have a good desire. They would seek the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, like these women, as it tells us in Luke 24 and verse 4, they are much perplexed. And why are they perplexed? Because they find not the one whom they seek, because they're looking in the wrong place for the risen and exalted Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not here. "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And there are many today, and they're seeking the Lord Jesus Christ among the dead. They're seeking Him among their own dead works that can never bring peace to the troubled soul. They're seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ in unregenerate hearts, those hearts that have never been cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never had their minds renewed by the Lord. They're seeking for the Lord in the dead ordinances of the church. My friend, you'll not find the Lord in any of those things. Oh, you must seek Him. You must seek Him by faith. There's many of the Lord's dear people, and we would fear this morning that they would seek to worship the Lord. And you know, they're in among the dead this morning, and they're attending many places where the Lord Jesus Christ has arisen from, because the gospel is no longer preached in the places they go to. The Lord Jesus Christ has arisen from the midst, and Ichabod is written across the door. And you know, like the Ethiopian, when he went down to Jerusalem for to worship, what would he find there in the temple? He certainly wouldn't find the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't find the gospel been preached, because the Savior had been driven from the temple of Jerusalem. He had been put out. And when Philip opened to him the scriptures, he preached unto him Jesus. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ can be found in a desert place, but there's many places of so-called worship this morning that he'll not be found, because you cannot seek the living among the dead. Whom you sought? Tell me this morning, whom do you come to seek when we come to the house of the Lord, where he's promised to be, where the two or three are met together in his name? Is it the Lord? Is that the desire of every heart this morning, sinner? Tell me, have you come to seek the Lord this morning? Have you come to seek him, whom to know is life eternal? Are you coming this morning to be satisfied just by going through the form of the service? Are you really seeking him with all your heart? Those that seek me early shall find me. Tell me, brother, sister, this morning, whom have you come to seek today? Are you just filling your pew this morning because it's expected of you? Have you just come this morning to be seen of men, or to see who else is there? Or have you and I come to seek the Lord? When we leave the service this morning, we'll be able to say of a truth, it was good for me to be there, for there I've met afresh with the Lord. Oh, I've met the Lord's people, and was delighted to see Mrs. So-and-so out again after illness. It was good to see such and such a one there. But most of all, we met with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a tragedy this morning if we come to the house of God and we do not seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom they sought when they came. Verse 2 tells us, very early in the morning, the first day of the week. And although they did not find him where and as they expected, yet they found him. John's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 18 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself unto Mary. And those that seek the Lord early will find him. Young man, young woman, today without Christ, seek the Lord early in life, in your tender years, before you grow up in this old wicked world and get ensnared and held by the chains of Satan and sin. Seek him early, because those that seek the Lord early shall find him in the morning of life. While the years are still tender, seek him. Brother and sister, this morning, let us seek the Lord prayerfully. Let us seek him tearfully. Let us seek him early. It was early in the morning, the first day of the week. Early in the morning. I wonder how we start our day. I wonder how we commenced our day this morning before we came to the house of the Lord. I wonder, were we caught out this morning with the changing of the time? Or I wonder this morning, did we neglect the place of prayer? Did we seek the Lord early? Have we our hearts prepared for the worship service of the Lord by seeking his face early in the morning? In John's account in chapter 20, in verses 10 to 11, we're told that Peter and John came to the tomb, and they didn't find the Savior. He wasn't there. But you know, they went home again. Very interesting that the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who was in the very inner of the inner circle, John and Peter, they came to the tomb and they didn't find the Savior, and so they went back home again. But we're told that Mary lingered. Oh, she was perplexed in heart. She was downcast. She was sad. She didn't know what had happened, but she lingered on. She kept seeking for the Lord. And she stayed there until she met and talked with the Lord. You often think of the place of prayer. Sometimes we think of that psalm. Is it Psalm 91? They that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And yet sometimes our visits to the throne of grace are but fleeting visits. You know, when someone is passing your home, perhaps a friend, and they say, I haven't much time to stay, we're just paying a fleeting visit, just time to say hello, goodbye, how are you? And you know, isn't that often what it's like in our own experience at the place of prayer? It's just a fleeting visit. And you know, when we do come to the place of prayer, we have so much to ask the Lord that we don't give Him time or an opportunity to speak to our own hearts. But Mary lingered. And though initially she was disappointed, yet she held on. And you know, the two disciples went back home and they missed one of the greatest blessings that any believer can experience. It was the presence of the Lord. And in John chapter 20 is a lovely portion there. It tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ first spoke to Mary, that He addressed her as woman. And she didn't recognize the Savior, she didn't recognize the voice, and she supposed Him to be the gardener. But then in verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ addresses her by her name, Mary. And the moment the Savior addressed her by her name, she says, Master Rabboni. She knew Him immediately. What does John say, or the Lord Jesus Christ say in John chapter 10? I know my sheep. And He called them by their names. He says, woman, just any woman. But the second call was by her name, Mary. And immediately she knew it was the Savior. And my, what joy, what gladness filled her heart when the Lord spoke to her and she fellowshipped with the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter and John went back home. And then the Lord Jesus Christ in John 20 did meet again with the disciples in that little room where they were gathered for fear. And it says in verse 20 of John 20, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad when they saw the Lord. They were meeting in fear because of the Jews. But when the Lord appeared in the midst, that fear was dispelled. Joy flooded their souls. The Savior's alive. I wonder, is that how we feel this morning? When the Lord presents Himself in our midst, are we glad? You know, there was one who was absent from that gathering in John 20. It was Thomas. Thomas didn't gather with the people of God. He waited a further 8 days before he was found in their midst. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto them. But for 8 days, Thomas missed out on the blessing of the Lord's presence and power. For it is the presence of the Lord that maketh the feast. The psalmist could say, in thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And Thomas missed out. Many empty seats this morning in the church. I'm not sure whether that's normal or not. But you know, sometimes it doesn't take much to keep the people of God from the house of God on the Lord's day. And I think it says something of the state of heart, where there's no genuine illness or no genuine reason why they can't be there. Because then were the disciples glad when the Lord was in the midst. And the Lord has promised, for the two or three are met together in His name, there am I in the midst. And yet there are people, and they can forsake the worship service in the Lord's day morning. Or they can forsake the gospel meeting in the Lord's day evening. And it would suggest to me that they don't really miss the Savior. But I can tell you, brother and sister, this morning He misses you. He misses those that are not there. But it would seem to me that some don't really miss the Savior when they can make such flimsy excuses for not gathering together. Thomas lost out. He missed the man, the risen, exalted Savior. He missed the message that the Lord brought him, the message was peace. It's the first message a sinner hears from the lips of the Savior when he comes as a sinner to Christ. It's peace be unto you, because there's peace through the blood of his cross. He brings peace when he comes into the heart and life. Thomas missed that message, and then he missed the manifestation of the Lord's power and his glory. And I often, you and I, miss out at the plea for prayer because we don't hold on. How often we're like the children of Israel when they came to the borders of Canaan, to Kadesh Barnea, and they were on the very threshold of the place of blessing. God had told them that Canaan was a land flowing with milk and with honey. They were in the very borders at the city of Kadesh Barnea, but instead of entering in, they murmured and complained, and they wandered again for 38 years in the wilderness. Oh, at the very threshold of blessing, and they never entered in. And how often it is with you and I at the throne of grace, we're just as it were at the threshold of blessing when we cut off our communication, when we rise from the place of prayer and we've missed the very best blessing. How often in the work of the Lord, in our gospel campaigning, that we come to the door of blessing and we turn aside. We don't go through with God. We're content with a little reviving. We're content with a little blessing. But oh, the fullness of the blessing of the Lord we miss because we don't go through with God. Mary lingered, and she received the blessing of the Lord. You'll notice where they went, these ladies. They went to the sepulchre. And it says in verse 5, and entering into the sepulchre. And from John's account, it appears that they had to stoop down to enter into the tomb. And what did they find there? An empty tomb. Now you might say there's nothing much in that. Nothing but disappointment. But oh no, you missed the point. If you think there was nothing but disappointment, rather there was great encouragement and blessing, because the Lord wasn't there. He was risen. And when they went into the sepulchre and they stooped down and they looked around, they saw that the body was no longer there. They entered into the place of death. It was entering into that sepulchre where it was revealed unto them that the Lord Jesus Christ had arisen indeed. They stooped down. And brethren and sisters, if you and I want the best of the blessing of the Lord, if we want the Lord to bless our lives, we must come to the place of death. We must stoop down. We must humble our hearts and become as little children. If you and I want to be used of the Lord, we must come to that place where we'll lose our life and find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had that great desire in Philippians 3:10. He said that he might know him and being conformable, made conformable unto his death, that he might know the power of his resurrection. But first of all, he had to be made conformable unto his death. First of all, there must be the dying unto self. Jesus said, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And oh, what Peter and John missed that day before they entered into the place of death and had the great manifestation, the revelation of a risen Savior revealed unto them. I wonder this morning, do we know what it is to die unto self? I believe one of the greatest hindrances in the work of any church, greatest hindrance in the work of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is too many believers are trying to do the work in the energy of the flesh. It's what we want and what we think and what we plan. And you know, sometimes we have so much planning and organization that we've organized the Holy Ghost out of his own work. But the way to blessing, the way to be seated in the heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ, the way to having revealed to us the very best blessings and to receive the power of the Holy Ghost is first of all into the place of death, buried with Christ in baptism, not merely in the outward form of the sacrament, but in spirit, dying unto self, mortifying the flesh. Romans 6 should be a favorite chapter of each one of us. Reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God, and then seeking to do the work in the power of an endless life. If you and I would save our lives, we must lose them. And then what they received? They found precious treasure in the sepulchre. It is not death to enter the death of Christ, but life forevermore. And the first treasure they received was a word of comfort. Verse 6, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. A word of comfort. He said, be not affrighted. All their hearts were perplexed. Their eyes were burning with scalding tears. Their world, as it were, had collapsed in around about them. But the word of the gospel was a word of comfort. Be not perplexed. Be not affrighted. He is risen. And oh, the only message that can really cheer the heart is the message of a risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Words of comfort. And then there's an evidence of the resurrection power. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. There was power. Jesus said, I lay my life down and have power to raise it again. And if you and I are saved this morning, if we're in Christ, then that power is available unto us. That's what Paul's desire was, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Men and women this morning, there's only one power that can save a soul. It's the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only Christ that can save. But Paul wanted to know that power in his preaching. He wanted to know that power to live the life. For to me to live is Christ. And if you and I would know that power in our lives, the grave clothes will be left behind. When they went in, they saw the grave clothes. And if anybody wanted to steal them, why leave the grave clothes? Remember that John chapter 11. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And the Savior came to the tomb. And the sister said, Master, he has been dead 4 days, he stinketh. But when Jesus came, he told them to roll away the stone. And then he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And by the power of the word of God, Lazarus came forth. And then Jesus said, loosen and let him go, because he was bound in the trappings of death. He was bound by grave clothes. He'd come forth from the tomb, but he wasn't going to accomplish anything as he was. He was helpless and hopeless to release himself. He was brought forth into life, but there was something else that had to happen. He had to have the grave clothes removed. And brethren and sisters, there's a hindrance in our lives. There's something that needs to be done if we're going to be effectual in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to throw off the old grave clothes of sin. The old things must pass away. All things must become new. The old man and his conversation, the old man and his conduct, the old man and his companions, they must pass away. That's what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But I see today those who make professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know there's very little evidence that the old things have passed away. Very little evidence that their conduct has changed, that the conversation has changed, that their companions are changed. They're still in the grave clothes. But they must go. And then there was a great commission given in verse 7. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Go your way and tell. Not the message that we have received today with a risen Savior. We don't worship a dead Savior in the cross and the tomb. He's a risen Savior. He's the mighty to save. And we rejoice in that, and we thank God that we're saved through faith in Jesus' blood. But there's a commission given to each one of us. It's go and tell. Tell me. Are we telling others? Have we a testimony to share with others that the Lord Jesus Christ has arisen and he lives in our hearts? Go and tell. In Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Tell me, are we witnessing for Christ? Are we telling others? We sat last night in the martyrs, and I'm sure there was others in the meeting here that sat there last night. Listened to our brother from Romania. He told us, not only was the door open in that land for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the door was opening and many of the false cults were flooding in and they're telling, but it's not the story of the cross. It's a false religion. And we can see in our land, and I don't know about Lurgan, but I could count on some of the false cults being around my door in East Belfast at least once a month. One Saturday night at 9 o'clock, two young men and the rain running out of their shoes knocking the doors with a false gospel. And if there's a drop of rain on a Sunday morning, God's people don't go to church. Never mind telling others. Go and tell. That's the commission. Go and tell. And then they had a precious promise, and their time is far spent. He goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. He goeth before you. And I tell you, brother and sister, the Lord never commissioned a man to go anywhere or to do anything that the Lord hasn't been or hasn't done. He goeth before you. And if the Lord would call you to Africa, if the Lord would call you to Craigavon or wherever, you can rest assured if the Lord has called you that he has gone before you. And he's gone to make the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth. And having gone before you, he'll be with you. And then it says, there ye shall see him. And if we are out of the will of God, we'll not see the Lord where we're working. But if we're in the center of God's will, if we have a commission from the Lord, then no matter how difficult it might seem, no matter how dangerous the way might be, the Lord will be with us and we shall see him. And I tell you, it's only the presence and the promises of God that keeps any child of God at the station where God has called them to. Ye shall see him. And thank God, one day we shall see him. Not only with the eye of faith, but we shall see him face to face and tell the story
saved by grace. For you see, when we go, then we're going towards heaven and home. No matter, it might be via Canada, might be via India, might be via Scotland, wherever the Lord would call us to be, but it's going to heaven, and one day we shall see the King in all his glory. Oh, my friends, this morning, what does the empty tomb mean to you? You that are not saved, are you seeking the Lord? You'll find him when you seek him with all your heart. The Lord's people, are we seeking the Lord? Are we seeking to further his cause? Are we seeking to see his name glorified in the corner where the Lord has placed us? Oh, may we go forth in power. There's a great message to proclaim. It's the greatest message, that Jesus is alive and that Jesus Christ is able to save to the very uttermost all that come unto God by him. Oh, may we learn this morning from the empty tomb. May we go forth from this day rejoicing, bearing the glad tidings that Jesus saves.